This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Podcast also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. And while there, you can always leave a comment for the show. You can always get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Text the show, 843-608-1734. We can always join the conversation on the phones as well, 843-721-9500. Coming up, who could be this year's version of the Cincinnati Bengals? And we'll continue to get ready for Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight, plus we'll get to Trent's takes. We closed out last hour talking about Tom Brady sending a pair of game-used underwear to a quote-unquote lucky fan. I also saw the story of Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, buying Kurt Cobain's guitar for $4.5 million. Now, Irsay obviously has a lot of money. He's also a big music guy. He's got his own band, I think, which they're not very good, but he's a big music guy. He's got all sorts of guitars. He plays, obviously. Cobain's guitar for $4.5 million. That must be nice to have almost $5 million to spend on a old collector's item guitar after Kurt Cobain passed away, of course, all those years ago.
Jim Irsay actually has his own museum of all of the things that he has. He has, like, scrolls from the 1300s. And he's a collector, and he has a museum in Indianapolis, and all of the stuff is in there. He's got Elvis's piano or somebody's piano. I don't know who it is, but he spends a lot of money on things that normal people would be like, oh, that's absurd.
Yeah. I would say so.
And he's in his own band, I believe, as well. He's like the lead singer.
Yeah, I've heard, I saw a clip. They're not great.
No.
It's like the owner of, James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks and Rangers. He has his own band, too. It's called like JJ and the Straight Shots or something like that. they're terrible, too. But you get these rich guys that, you know, they got a bunch of money and they form a band, pay the guys a bunch, I'm sure, and somehow book some lousy gigs. And, yeah, they're pretty bad. But Irsay, I appreciate, he's got a little bit of a rock star personality to himself, and I appreciate his love for music and that he plays guitar. I'm going to have to look up this museum. We're going to have to power rank the best things of his collection. It is a throwback Thursday, so we have one fan collecting Tom Brady's underwear. We got Jim Irsay with his collection. Two questions on this idea. Number one, even away from sports, you ever collect something? Do you have any sort of collection from your life?
No, I don't. I've never been a collector. And maybe it's just because, like, the internet is so prevalent. Obviously, you want to have, you know, whatever you actually desire. But no, I mean, my aunts and uncles, they have a couple of very cool things. A Muhammad Ali robe, a couple things like that. So, yeah, but I'm not a big collector guy, Luke. Are you? You collect every so often?
Every so often. But no, I'm not a big one. Now, growing up, like, we did the silly thing with when they changed out all of the coins.
Hmm.
And then that was a big deal. Like, you needed to get, I guess it was the new coins coming out. Because they released, like, four states a year, maybe it was, or five states, whatever. And that was a big deal. Like, oh, we got to get, oh, look at this. This is the Ohio, the new quarter for Ohio. We don't have this one yet. And you would also have that book of the map, and it had the slot for each state that you would put the quarter in. And I think I still have that, actually, tucked away with a bunch of other stuff in my storage closet. But I think I have that somewhere. That was a big thing. And then, of course, like our family, we were big on Beanie Babies. We thought that was going to be our way out. So I think we still have a few. We had tons of Beanie Babies. What are those other things? Pods or Pogs, whatever they're called. We had a bunch of those. Pokemon cards. So as kids, we did the normal collection stuff. I'm not like a stamp collector like some people or whatever else people collect. I don't know.
You can compare Beanie Babies to cryptocurrency right now. You know, that you think, hey, it's going to be there. It's going to be there. And then eventually, you know, it might all go away.
That's true. As technology has improved, we've gone from the Beanie Baby, like we got to go to the store, get a Beanie Baby, to now it's more like digital, the collections.
You're buying Shiba Inu coin instead of going out and buying 100 babies. 100, not 100, not 100 babies, 100 Beanie Babies.
That was Trent's collection. Out buying babies from people.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Beanie Babies. We had tons of those. What waste that was.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Goodness. We all were suckers for that. All those things. How many of these things actually come? The only one, oh, of course, how could I forget? We had so many trading cards, sports cards. We collected. We would organize them by team. We had the different binders for all the different sports. I still have sports cards that were given to me when I was born, obviously given to my parents. When I was born, that we haven't opened, hoping that one day when you open them, right, there'll be something worthwhile in there down the road. It's like an investment. That's the one thing, because I did just see a Jordan card sold for like $1 million. That's the one thing that really has paid off. The people that collected sports cards and took good care of them, now you're finally getting the payoff to your investment, where most of these other things never actually worked out.
Right, you got to wait like 30 years before they're worth it. Even like some signed jerseys, you know, like if you wait about 30 to 40 years before, you know, then you'll be able to, you know, sell it for a decent profit. Like I have a couple signed things that I'm definitely going to hold on to because in 40 years when we don't really remember the players,
yeah, right.
I'll probably sell them and see if there's a profit.
Yeah, that was going to be my other question, sports memorabilia.
Yeah.
Are you into that at all?
I don't have much. I mean, I have my D-Wade signed jersey that I absolutely love. I have a couple interesting things in the house that I didn't think I could acquire. I have a gold record, you know, that might be worth something.
That's
down
cool.
The line. Yeah, but no, I don't really – I'm not into the collectibles. It may just be my age. I'm not sure.
I'm not really into it either. I have a few things. My favorite one probably is when the Metrodome roof collapsed for the
Ooh.
Vikings. They sold – pieces of the roof that was shaped as the state of Minnesota, and so we all bought them for like my whole family. My dad has one, or my brother. I got one. We all got one. So I have that somewhere. I don't know. I may have lost that at this point. To be honest with you, I don't know where it is. But I have a piece somewhere of the old Metrodome roof for the Vikings at their stadium. So that's probably my favorite. I like that one. But yeah, like I have autographs from over the years. I have various things that were. Somehow you come across or given to you. I got a lot of autographs in person over the years. I used to be a big autograph guy as a kid.
An autograph hound. Uh-oh.
A little bit. I had a real knack for it.
You knew how to get it.
Oh, yeah. There's only certain things I'm good at in life, and that was one, getting autographs somehow was one of them. Let me tell you. We got a lot of autographs back in the day.
Except from Jerry Seinfeld.
No, Seinfeld. I got a picture. Seinfeld was good. Seinfeld, he was a jerk at first, and then we got a photo outside. He ended up being okay. No, Ray Allen was a jerk to me. John Daly. Jason Williams. Jason Williams was a real jerk to me. Now he's on in the morning here. I'm trying to think who else. Ray Allen ran out the back door, ran to his limo, hopped in the limo to get away.
Wow.
And it was a charity event, too. Like, it wasn't just like at Boston Garden, he's playing with the Celtics. Ray Allen played, of course, for UConn. He had, like, some sort of charity game in Connecticut. We were there. There was a bunch of people waiting outside to greet him, and we're all waiting there. And then suddenly you see somebody go running out the side door with his stuff, like, in his hands, and went running into his limo, hopped in the limo, and they sped out of the parking lot, leaving all the kids behind. I thought
that
was pretty rotten. And I've met Ray a couple of times, but that was a bad one. I don't know. Remember who else. The other most people are really nice. Alfonso Soriano was a jerk to me. I told that story before. He gave me the crotch chop it sign. I don't remember who else. I don't know. So many athletes over the years.
No, I'll tell you a celebrity that was very, very nice who I met in the Atlanta airport when I was a child, even though obviously he's not a great person. So what we've learned, but Chris Brown was incredibly nice to me when I went up. He was sitting at the terminal, I believe flying to New York, and I walked up to him and said hello. And it was all good. It was all good.
That's cool. If you could have on a Throwback Thursday, any piece of sports memorabilia in the world, even if it doesn't exist yet, you can get it somehow. Whether it's an autograph, a jersey, or something from a specific event, is there anything that comes to mind that you say, man, I wish I had that thing?
Tebow's game-worn jersey from the 2008 National Championship, or Aaron Rodgers' game-worn jersey from the Super Bowl in 2011.
I like it.
Yeah, those would be the two.
I like that. I was thinking about it. I don't know. I don't really have anything, to be honest with you.
No?
I mean, if I went way back, like something historic, I don't know. Like, I guess I would say the Hank Aaron home run ball that set history, something like that. Forget Barry Bonds and his home run record. That ball's juiced anyways. So I'd probably say something like that.
Maybe when Kirk Cousins wins a playoff game for the Vikings, you can get a signed jersey there. That'll be fun whenever, if that ever happens.
That's right. maybe something from Jackie Robinson, like when he broke the color barrier. Like, I'd go real big. It'd have to be real historic. Something from Muhammad Ali. Something along those lines. I would like. Something with Michael Jordan. I don't know. Jordan's shoes. Game-worn shoes. Sure, I'll take those. Something like that.
Tyson's gloves. I would like Mike cool. Tyson's gloves. Yeah, because, cool. I mean, he never wore a robe out. He was such a savage. He would just run out there basically in a full sweat. And so you don't have a robe to get, but you can definitely grab a glove or two.
Where did that tradition begin? With the boxers wearing the robes?
Ooh, great question.
That seems like a weird thing.
Yeah, that's why I loved Mike Tyson. Obviously, I didn't watch him fight live, but watching all the documentaries and everything, he was just a madman. He would run out there with a group of like 20 people around him in a full sweat, no robe or anything, and just stare down his opponent until they broke.
Quick Google search tells me that a robe retains the body heat as they make it to the ring, and the hood maintains focus by filtering distractions from the audience. That's interesting. It's like a racing horse. They put those blinders on, so they just look forward, you know, and the horse keeps running straight.
There you go. I mean, Tyson wore robes every so often, but, like, from the fights that I remember, sometimes he wouldn't wear a robe, sometimes he would, depending on the level of the fight, if it was for a championship or just, you know, an exhibition.
I don't know if focus was ever a problem with Tyson. He was talking about, you know, eating the babies of his opponents. Like, he was ready to go. He didn't need a robe to help him focus on the way to the ring.
You didn't need to fire Mike Tyson up. He was already fired up in his head.
He was ready to get in there and knock somebody out. No problem there. Hey, we have the NBA Finals tonight. Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We'll see if the Warriors can close things out. On the Warriors' side of things, the storyline, of course, is Steph Curry trying to get another championship and therefore becoming the MVP. You could say it's the missing link. I don't think he's missing anything in the resume. But if he gets the win tonight or even in Game 7 and he is that MVP, there's not much else that can be left to be said about Curry. Not much you can criticize him for. And if and when the Warriors finish off this finals, I think this will be the most impressive championship yet for Steph Curry of the four. He's had to do more on his own. Doesn't have Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are older. They were not the favorite to win this thing. They were a bit of a surprise. Curry's older himself. He's now 34. And just the way he's playing. Was he great last game? No, not in terms of scoring. Still made a big impact. But Steph Curry, last NBA finals, when Durant was injured, he averaged 30 points against the eventual champions. This NBA Finals, he's averaging over 30 points against the number one defense in the league. And while he did not play great in Game 5, his teammates shot 62% when Curry was on the floor. The Celtics' defensive approach was to take Curry out of that game and force others to try to win. And that's what happened. The others did win. Andrew Wiggins was the star. Curry didn't do much, didn't make a three, but his opponents shot 62% from the floor. You'll probably take that trade-off. Especially when Wiggins was able to make some big shots in the fourth quarter. When Curry was off the floor, the Warriors shot only 22%. That's the big difference. That even if it's not Curry scoring, he has that gravitational pull that pulls the focus away from the defense, allowing other guys to knock down open shots. And they were able to do it in Game 5. I expect Curry will be better tonight, but even if the Celtics use that same defensive approach, where they were face-guarding Curry, running double teams at him, picking him up at midcourt, trying to see, that's the one issue for Steph Curry's game. He's the best shooter we've ever had. He's an egoless star, which is an advantage. He's probably going to win his fourth championship. He has changed the game. He's one of the all-time greats. The one negative to Steph Curry is that because of his size, it's a little more difficult to get the ball in his hands. You could try to take him away from the game, right? You face guard, you double team, you pick him up at midcourt. It's hard to get the ball in his hands. LeBron will not only bring the ball up the floor, but he's just such a big athletic dude that it's a lot harder for a defense to try to keep the ball out of his hands. We'll see it at the end of the games. When the Warriors have an inbounds play, looking for a game-winning shot, you know, they'll put somebody with a little more size on Curry because it's harder to inbound the ball to him. That's the one issue for Steph Curry, is just that he's not the biggest guy. It's also a bit of a positive, though, in the sense that his game will translate as he gets older. He does not rely on his athleticism. Shooters can hang around. Ask the aforementioned Ray Allen. Shooters can play for a long time. even as your legs start to go, right, these shooters, these great shooters, still usually have those strokes from the outside. So it's a bit of a blessing and a curse, if you will, to his style of play for Steph Curry. The Celtics kept him from getting the ball as much as they could in Game 5, but it led to Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole getting some good looks and knocking down shots. I imagine Curry will play better tonight. The all-time greats are greats for a reason. It's hard to keep them down that long. They may have one bad game, or they can have two consecutively. I don't know. The concern is we expect Curry to be much better this game than Game 5. On the flip side, you're also probably concerned about which Celtics players are going to step up. And so earlier I said, right, the Celtics tonight are like the Bonnie Tyler song, I Need a Hero, because that's what they need tonight. They need somebody to step up. And the most likely candidate would be a Jason Tatum. Can he step up tonight? He hasn't been great. But good play in a big moment can erase a lot of bad play prior. And the example I used earlier, not a perfect example, but I think back to Jordan in 98, where all you remember is that game-winning shot to win the finals. But he wasn't great, for his standards at least, in Game 5. And he wasn't shooting great in Game 6. He was 12 for 32 coming down the stretch. And then he made his final three shots, including the game winner. And to set up that game winner, he had the steal on the previous possession on the defensive end. Put the team on his back, carried them to a win, and won the NBA Finals. For Jason Tatum, he has not been great this finals. I've made that crystal clear throughout the series. But if you play big tonight at home, keep the season alive. And if you come back, play big Game 7 on the road, right, there's still a chance for Tatum to save himself, his reputation, his stardom, and to help you forget about some of those poorer performances before. Just like at the end of the game, right? You could have three bad quarters, but if you play big in the fourth, yeah, it's all is forgiven. All you remember is the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum has not been good for the first five games, but if he plays big in Game 6 and 7, the rest becomes a footnote. You don't remember that, right? Because he was his best in the biggest moments in this hypothetical situation. We'll see if Tatum can step up tonight. The Celtics are 3-0 when facing elimination this postseason. The Warriors are 0-3 when trying to close out a series on the road this postseason. We'll see if the Celtics can push this thing to a Game 7 on Father's Day. By the way, people always say, right, Game 7, best two words in sports? Probably Super Bowl. Isn't Super Bowl better two words? I think more people are into a Super Bowl than a Game 7 for any other sport. But I hope we still get a Game 7 come Sunday anyways. When we come back, who could be this year's Cincinnati Bengals? We'll get to that next. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday. Really? Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Who could be this year's Cincinnati Bengals? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll break that down here on the show. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. We've been getting ready for that. I was wondering why Gary Payton is not Gary Payton Jr. He's like Gary Payton the second. I guess Gary Payton the father has a little George Foreman to him because apparently he has two sons and he named them both. They're both Gary, whatever the middle name is, Payton. They're both essentially juniors. So one's like a junior and one's like the second. This is crazy to me. George Foreman, of course, you know, named everybody like with a G. Boy, his sons and daughters, all their names started with a G. If you're Gary Payton, why are you naming two sons both with the same name? And they have the same name as you. Makes no sense to me. And we've had examples of this throughout the years of people with similar names. I remember Lance Stevenson, who played in the NBA. He had a brother who was also named Lance, but they spelled it differently. What are we doing here? Well, we can't come up with better names. You name both your kids Lance. You just spell one. It was ended C-E. The other ended T-Z. And even Carlos Boozer. His name was Carlos, and one of his brothers was Charles, which is like the English version of Carlos. So it was essentially the same, but there was that one little differentiating factor. Like, yeah, we'll change your name to Charles, and you'll be Carlos. Crazy. Gary Payton, what are you doing? Naming both of your kids Gary Payton. I never liked the idea of even juniors. I've told the story before. One of my best friends was, he's actually the third. His father was the junior. The grandfather was the original. But, you know, we didn't really know the grandfather, so we'd always call the house. Back when there were no cell phones, you'd have to call the house. And we'd say, you know, hey, is Frank there? And the father would answer. And he'd say, Frank or Frank Jr.? We said, Frank Jr. And he said, okay, 1 second. And then he'd give a pregnant pause and say, okay, speaking. I mean, all right, Frank the third. Right, because he would do that all the time. He was a real comedian. Oh, it was so annoying. Every time we would call. Just give the phone to the kid we're trying to talk to. Everyone with the same names around here. Confusing. Gary Payton naming both kids Gary Payton. Crazy. We'll see how well Gary Payton the second does tonight in the NBA Finals. And if the Warriors can close things out. Who can be this year's Cincinnati Bengals? The Bengals were a surprise team last year. Now, they were talking about this on Get Up this morning. And the criteria was, you know, picking a last-place team that could go win the conference. We'll dive into it. I'll give my opinion. I won't necessarily pick from a last-place team. But here is Dominic Foxworth this morning giving his thoughts on who could be this year's Cincinnati Bengals.
This is much harder, but I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I think that the point of being a Cincinnati Bengals is not just from going worst to first, is that it also has to be a bit of a surprise. So, like, I could pick the Ravens because they were the worst in their division last year, but they had a lot of injuries and things like that. But the Jaguars do, like the Bengals, have a young, very talented quarterback, and they've addressed some offensive line issues, which we know makes life easier for that quarterback. And they brought in Trevon Walker to help with that defensive line pressure. So I'm not sure that they will do it. But if you look around that division, I think the Colts are a very, very talented team. We'll see what happens when Matt Ryan gets there. But it's not a division that has a bunch of juggernauts. I think the Titans have taken a step back. And I don't think that the Texans are really trying that much this year. So I think it's possible. It's a long shot.
Yeah, it is a long shot. I would give the Jaguars, I don't know, 5% chance of getting to the Super Bowl. Maybe that's too high. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think they'll be improved this year, although I also had high expectations last year for Jacksonville. They won 3 games. But you replace a coach who didn't know what he's doing with now a Super Bowl-winning head coach. Trevor Lawrence, you hope, will be better year two compared to year one, especially now with Doug Peterson. And they did improve the roster by how much? We'll see. Maybe not a ton, but they did make some moves to bring in more talent onto that team through the draft and free agency. And the division, as Foxworth was breaking down there, the division is somewhat open. The Colts and Titans both had winning records last year, but you know the Titans lose A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill didn't play well in the playoffs, and they've been to the playoffs like 4 straight years. Eventually that window's going to close. The Colts, I don't know, what are you going to get out of Matt Ryan at age 38? Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be this generational talent. In fact, ESPN.com put out an article today where they were talking with different executives in the league, getting their rankings on who will be the best second-year quarterbacks this year. And Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick amongst these executives. They thought it would be Trevor Lawrence. So he's expected to take a big step forward. Now, I'm not going to be as bold as Dominique Foxworth when talking about who could be this year's Bengals. I'm not necessarily going to pick a team that finished in last. Instead, a team that missed the playoffs. Right, if you look at some of the things that the Bengals represented, they were a team that had missed the playoffs. They had a young, unproven head coach. They had a young quarterback as well. And then they also obviously had some good weapons on offense. And oddly enough, they were kind of a cheap organization that had underachieved previously. So who could check some of those boxes and fit that criteria? Additionally, let me also tell you that over the past decade, a lot of quarterbacks, I should say a lot of Super Bowls outside of Tom Brady, have been won by young quarterbacks on a rookie contract in their second year of their system. Russell Wilson did it. Carson Wentz, I know Nick Foles was the quarterback in the Super Bowl, but Carson got them there. Jared Goff got them there. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow got them there. So I should say getting to the Super Bowl, not necessarily winning the Super Bowl. But 5 different quarterbacks have gotten to the Super Bowl in the past decade in which they were on a rookie deal and were in their second year of the offensive system. So with all this information we have, right, a team that did not make the playoffs, a young, unproven head coach, a young quarterback with some potential, a team that has underachieved previously, a young quarterback maybe in his second year in the system, initially you think of a team like maybe the Patriots, but they have a proven coach and they made the playoffs. The Eagles check a lot of the boxes. Unproven, offensive head coach, young quarterback, but they made the playoffs last year. So you can't choose the Eagles. The two teams that stand out most would be the Chargers and the Miami Dolphins, both in the AFC. The Dolphins have a young, unproven head coach, a quarterback that they have high hopes in. They have underachieved lately. They've been somewhat of a cheap organization in the sense that their owner was, he was cheap in one sense, not the other. I mean, he was willing to pay his coach extra money, but in order to lose, they've underachieved since Dan Marino. And they certainly have made some moves this offseason to try to bolster their team. However, the missing link for the Dolphins is that this is not the second year for Tua in this system. This is just the first year. And so there could be a bit of a learning curve for the Dolphins with a new coach, first-time head coach, taking over and implementing his offense. The Chargers, meanwhile, check a lot of those boxes as well. Now, they did miss the playoffs, but just barely. They did have a pretty good team a year ago, winning 9 games. Young, unproven head coach, young, talented quarterback. They've made some moves with the roster. They have underachieved. And it is now his second year in that offensive system for the Chargers. So the Chargers check pretty much all the boxes. The Dolphins check all but one. The Eagles are very close. They check a lot of the boxes, but they were in the playoffs a year ago, so that doesn't count. We're talking about a surprise team, a team that was not in the playoffs. I don't think the Chargers would be that surprising. You know, another team that checks a lot of the boxes would be the Falcons, but the Falcons are not going to be that surprise team in the NFC. I know it's only year one of Mike McDaniel. The Dolphins do check a lot of those boxes to be that surprise team. People did not see the Bengals reaching the Super Bowl a year ago. And while there's some hype around Miami, I don't know if many believe that Tua and a first-year head coach in Mike McDaniel could win the AFC this year with all the other talent in the conference. The Chargers would be the more obvious pick, but that's not as bold. They should have been in the playoffs a year ago. And the Dolphins are that next level that is a little bit more of a bold pick. The biggest concern when looking at the criteria of the Bengals from a year ago is just that it's year one for Tua in this system as opposed to year two. For Joe Burrow, right, it was year three for him with Zach Taylor. But for a lot of these other quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, it was that second year that it took a big step forward. First year, there's that learning curve. Second year, you're more comfortable, you know the offense, you're more familiar with things, and you're ready to go lead your team to the playoffs. Now, Trent, I know you said yesterday you don't think there'll be, which, by the way, we do this a lot. You know, the Bengals were a bit of an outlier. They were such a surprise last year. But anytime something happens, like if the Celtics were to win the championship this year, we'd be talking about like, okay, how many more are they going to win? Like anytime something happens, we expect that that's just the norm now. What the Bengals did last year was an outlier. It probably shouldn't be expected. With that said, you had mentioned yesterday you don't think there'll be a version of the Bengals this year, right?
No, yeah, I don't think there's any team that can duplicate what the Bengals did last year. I mean, you just have to look at the roster as far as skill positions go. Ja'Marr Chase is a clear-cut number one wide receiver and came into his own throughout the season. They have weapons all over the place. Joe Mixon in the backfield is incredibly important. The only thing they were missing is the offensive line. They improved on the defense. The secondary was a question. I don't see, quite honestly, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Christian Kirk on majority of teams in the NFL would be a number three wide receiver. And if you're relying on him to be your number one, that raises concerns for me for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. They got talent. I mean, Zay Jones was a four in the Raiders. He's now a two in Jacksonville. So, no, I don't think there will be a team for quite some time that are going to be like what we had with the Cincinnati Bengals. And also, I think there's a little bit of a difference between a lot of these younger quarterbacks and Joe Burrow. He just seems like a different cat. And now with the Bengals, they have an improved offensive line. I expect them to make the playoffs. Do I think they'll win the Super Bowl? Probably not. But I do expect them to make the playoffs. But the Jets, the Jaguars, the Texans, the Lions. I know a lot of people are betting on the Lions to go 10-7 and win a playoff game. Come on, let's be realistic here. All those teams will have a top 10 pick next year. Year in and year out, we all know it. They all do it. Let's not be fools.
But you are pretty high on the Dolphins, right?
I'm a Mike McDaniel guy. Yeah. He's got swag. He's got it all. But do I think that they're going to make some miraculous playoff run? No, but they'll probably win, 8-9 games, maybe beat the Patriots once, beat the Bills once, beat the Jets twice. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I mean, I have high expectations for Miami. it might just be because I'm such a Mike McDaniel guy. I love the fella. I mean, he's so awesome. He's one of the cooler NFL coaches we have out there. He's a Yale grad. He's super smart. And if you look, not just about how cool of a guy he is, but Mike McDaniel, what he did with that offense in San Francisco, obviously you can put a lot of it on Kyle Shanahan, but he was the offense coordinator the last couple of years, and that run game was absolutely incredible. As we've seen, he was the run game coordinator when they went on to the Super Bowl, ended up losing, but they put, I mean, against the Packers, they rushed for 260 yards, you know, before contact. So he can definitely craft an offense the way he wants, and now he has toys in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. So, yeah, I mean, I expect them to win more games than people might expect.
Yeah, plenty of reasons to be optimistic about the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, for the Chargers, like you mentioned, if the Chargers don't make the playoffs again, I mean, Brandon Staley, that experiment has failed, and it has failed mightily, because that's a team, especially now with the way that they've worked their defense with Khalil Mack. Yeah, he's on the back half of his career, but him and Joey Bosa coming off the edges together, absolutely incredible. You add J.C. Jackson to an already stacked secondary, their defense will look good, and now it's just if Justin Herbert and the offense can step up.
Yeah, last year was a big disappointment for the Chargers. And so if they don't get back there again this year, Brandon Staley may not have a job anymore. We'll get to Trent's takes when we come back. It's the Mar Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mar Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. On the text line, somebody asked about Robbie Anderson talking about retirement. He said that he was just thinking out loud, I guess, with that tweet, when he tweeted something about thinking about retiring. Also, he's dealing with some an injury right now. I think it's his hip. So, you know, well, at that point, maybe you're feeling a little negative about things and say, forget this. I'm just going to retire. But he reiterated or clarified to the media that he was just kind of thinking out loud. And I think he said something along the lines of, I'm still here, so must not be retiring yet. Anyways, we'll see what happens with Robbie Anderson and the Panthers. We usually do it around 1:30. We had a member of the Battery join us around 1:30 today, so instead we get to end your afternoon with Trent's takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's
Panthers.
Right.
It's time for Trent's takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, before I get into any sporty news, I would like to address yesterday. Obviously, we were talking about the order that you get ready in. So this morning, I decided that I was going to go in reverse order to see how it goes. I started from top to bottom, and I've never felt weirder, folks. I tell you that right now. I like to do a couple things in the morning, and I didn't like the Winnie the Pooh kind of deal. You know, I didn't like it. I actually put socks on before I put anything else on, and I'm not wearing socks right now, but I put them on just to see how people work, especially in the summertime. Absolutely hated it. You got to go, you know, undergarments first, then pants, potentially put on the socks after that, and then go from there. Because I just, you know, a little science experiment on my own before the Morrow Midday Show as we came on. But went in reverse order, absolutely hated it. If you go in reverse order, folks, I would like to have a conversation with you. Make sure you're doing okay, not only mentally, but physically.
Yeah, that's a tough way to start your day.
No, it is.
Going through something like that. You ever sleep with socks on?
Sometimes, yeah. If I forget to take them off, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm like you. I fall asleep on the couch all the time. That's like I'll be watching something, maybe in the thing I was wearing or if I was out and come back. And sometimes I'll have shoes on, you know, just depending on where and when you pass out. But I was going to ask, how many times a week do you fall asleep on the couch?
It's been a little while now.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a little while. But I don't know. On average, not that often. I went through a stretch a couple weeks ago where it was happening pretty often. I don't know why. I was tired, I guess. It's part laziness.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm comfortable on the couch. I don't want to go to bed. And then it's also part of the night owl personality of me that, like, I am kind of tired, but let me watch one more episode.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the episode, I'm nodding off. So, yeah, it's a combination of the two. It hasn't happened in a couple of weeks, so I'll say that.
No, my mother got upset with me because I told her, I was like, yeah, I've fallen asleep on the couch every night this week, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I do it way too often, and my couch isn't that long, right? So, you know, I'm a relatively taller gentleman, so, you know, I'm kind of scrunching up sometimes, mm-hmm. but, man, it's comfy. So, I mean, I'll sleep there. I'll wake up around 6 a.m., 5 a.m., and then just go maybe hop in the bed for a couple hours or get my day started, depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was the first time I made it all the way through on the couch. Like, I woke up at, like, 10 in the morning.
Really?
I was, like, really tired. I think it was a Friday at the end of a week. I fell asleep on the couch, and I slept the whole night into the morning. I woke up. I was like, all right, I got enough sleep. It's time to go now.
That's why you always normally just wake up, right, like at a random time.
Yeah.
If I'll look out the window. If it's still dark out, I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, I got a couple hours to, yep. you know, get back in bed. But, yeah, I'm a big couch sleeper. I don't mind it whatsoever. I crash on couches from here or there, so I can sleep anywhere. I really, outside of planes and cars, I can sleep anywhere. You put me on the floor with a blanket and, you know, and a sheet as a pillow, I'm cool with it, Luke. I got no problem.
I'm with you. And part of it probably was growing up. I'm the youngest of three boys. We'd go on the road for AAU. We'd put everybody in one hotel room, and I always would get the worst draw of the bunch. I would have to sleep wherever. So, yeah, I'm the same way. As I get older, I'm a little more picky. I kind of want a mattress if I'm going on a trip or something. But absolutely, if I had to, you put me on a bus, I'm knocking out right away. I could sleep anywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't do the planes for some reason. I never fall asleep on the planes. Maybe just sometimes turbulence, or if I'm having a good conversation with the person next
course,
to me, like
yeah.
I like to do, then, you know, sometimes
right.
I'll stay up. But if it's an early morning flight, I'll definitely fall asleep. Now, Luke, game 6 tonight. I'm on a heater horse right now when it comes to my props. I want to look back and see actually how I've done in the finals as a whole, because I've only been missing either one or two mm-hmm. each time I give these props out. Massive game tonight, folks, and I got a couple for you that I think are absolutely incredible. First of all, I've been doing it every single game, and I will continue to do it. Jordan Poole over 11.5 points tonight. I think he gets at least 14. I would love to see him come off the bench, have a big game. Obviously, after the abysmal shooting night that Steph Curry had in Game 5, hammer the over, folks. I'd even tease this one up, Luke, to 35. It's right. Woo! It's at 28.5 right now. I think Steph Curry has a phenomenal game. I will also throw, because this guy has given me a lot of success in the prop market, Al Horford over 9.5 points tonight. I think he gets 10 for the Celts. Personally, I think the Warriors are going to win this ball game and close it out tonight, even though the NBA and all you NBA conspiracy theory, you know, fans out there are going to believe that the refs are going to try to go to Game 7. I think this Warriors team is resilient. They will win tonight. I'm not going to touch the number. May have put a little sprinkle on the money line. Warriors outright, but I love those props. Steph Curry over 28.5 points. Jordan Poole over 11.5. And Al Horford over 9.5. That's where we're going tonight. Luke, if this ends right now, I'll be 8-1 if we hit all three of these in the last couple days. So I'm feeling pretty good going into tonight's game, Luke.
Yeah, hopefully it continues. I like the Curry. I would take the over threes as well, three-pointers.
Yeah.
I think Curry comes back. Now, look, the Celtics did a really good job slowing him down last game, but great players are great players for a reason. I don't think he has two straight performances like that. So I think he regresses, or whatever the opposite of regressing to the mean. I think he plays big tonight, and we'll see if somebody can step up for Boston.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Luke, now, we were talking about the Chargers in the last segment. I would like to address a couple comments made by their starting quarterback, the Wonder Boy, that being Justin Herbert. Now, Justin said in a recent press conference, we all know he's a football guy, he loves football. He said that if you're going on vacation, you're running away from something, okay, which is quite interesting. He said, I'd rather be at home studying my playbook and throwing the football. Let's not be fools, folks. There is no way in the world that Justin Herbert wasn't down in Cabo about a month ago before mini camps. I love this idea that there are quarterbacks out there that think they can't go on vacations, or it might just be for the media to want, you know, hey, my quarterback's always studying the playbook. And I know there's fans out there, like a couple Steelers fans actually I saw got mad at Kenny Pickett for going down to Ocean City, Maryland for the weekend for whatever the last holiday was, Memorial Day, or for whatever. And they were getting mad at him, saying he should go study the playbook. Let's not be brash fans here, folks. And also Justin Herbert, go on a vacation, pal. Everybody needs a vacation. You deserve a vacation. There's a couple people in this office that never take vacations. Take a vacation. It's absolutely asinine that Justin Herbert is saying he doesn't need vacations, and vacations are you're running away from something. I think that's absolutely bogus, Luke.
That's an interesting thought. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it is intriguing. It's the idea of when you live in a great area, like you feel like you never have to go on vacation because you live in a place where people come on vacation to. And I guess for Herbert, you know, like if you love your job, it's the idea of never working a day. You don't mind working all the time. But also, remember Carson Wentz, we had the stories of Carson Wentz got caught watching film on dates when he first came into the league. And, you know, things haven't gone great for Carson. So the idea that, like, devoting all this time to just the NFL doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a great quarterback. I do think Justin Herbert will be really good. But also, he probably, because he's going to be really good, can afford to take a week off during the offseason to go to some sort of tropical island.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady said that during his suspension for Deflategate that he went to Spain for a couple weeks. So if you're really worried, like, Tom Brady's going on vacations during the season when he's suspended, Justin, I'm telling you, buddy, you don't need to be that worried about minicamp, all right? You can go, hey, if you want to go on a vacation, you want to add football to it, do what, even though I don't like the guy, Deshaun Watson did, and bring everybody down to the Bahamas so you can have a vacation and throw the football around with your guys. You make a lot of money, Justin Herbert. Come on, what are you doing? Go on a vacation, pal. Everybody should take their proper vacation, yes. Saying that to the world. Go take a vacation. I haven't taken a vacation since I started here. Definitely going to have to do it because you need vacations, folks, for your mental space. There's no doubt about it. Justin Herbert, go take a vacation. Now, I mentioned yesterday, Luke, that I picked the Tampa Bay Lightning last night.
Yeah.
Obviously lost in overtime. What an electrifying game. But I will say, I am not giving up on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know the Colorado Avalanche are a phenomenal team, but I'm not doubting the heart of a champion. As I said yesterday, the goalie for Tampa Bay, I'm blanking on his name, has the silkiest mitts in all the land. There's no doubt about it. He can stop what he needs to stop. Obviously couldn't do it last night. I believe in this Tampa Bay team. I think this is going seven. I think Tampa Bay will three-peat this coming NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So I do believe Tampa's going to be okay once they go back to Tampa for games 3 and 4. I think it's going to be a little different, but I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado goes up 2-0 pretty quickly. But obviously in the East Finals a couple weeks ago, Tampa goes down 2-0 to the Rangers, comes back, wins it in 6. So, you know, I have no problem with continuing on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I love this team. Patty Maroon's an absolute dog. I've been listening to a couple of his podcast episodes. He's absolutely hilarious. Got the best goalie in all the lands, Luke. So I'm not wavering on Tampa Bay just yet, but last night did hurt a little bit.
Yeah, that was a tough one, right, when you have a chance to win a game like that on the road and they lost in overtime. It was a fun first game of the series. If the series is like that, it'll be a fun Stanley Cup Finals. By the way, people complain about the NBA taking too long. Game 2 is not till Saturday for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Right, they're taking these 2 days off, so they're stretching this thing out. There's no travel here either. They're still in Colorado. But we'll see what happens this weekend in Game 2.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And folks, that's Trent's takes for you there.
I agree with you about we got to normalize vacation time.
Yeah.
Because we've all been conditioned to be hard workers. And, like, I'm a hard worker, but every once in a while still, right, you got something going on. Don't feel guilty about if your company gives you vacation time. That's what it's there for. You should be able to take it and use it as you please.
Yeah, people will scold you for taking vacation time. It's like, no, I have vacation time. You don't need to work every single day of your life. I think that's an overblown thing. You can take time off. Like, it's crazy to me that people think otherwise.
Yeah, right. That's the idea. That's why the company provides it with you, provides it to you. So use it. Use the vacation time, especially if it doesn't roll over, right? Especially if you have to give it back at the end of the year. Yeah, use up that vacation time. That's what it's there for. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back and preview one final time, Game 6 tonight. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Moore Midday Show.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you.
The Red Sox are losing right now 3-1 in day baseball, so things at Fenway feels so good, so good. We'll see about tonight in Boston with Game 6 for the Celtics-Warriors as we wrap up your Thursday and the Moore Midday Show. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand, search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And don't forget, you can take the Moore Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online, charlestonsportsradio.com, or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download the app today, and you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world. The podcasts are available in the app as well. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 12 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday. Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I've been giving you my picks for each game of the Finals. Don't feel great about it, but I think I would go Warriors to win outright. Now, I gave you the numbers before. If you're a betting man and you think, the Warriors, 3.5-point underdogs, I'll take the points. Just, you might as well take them to win outright. Don't bet the Warriors plus 3.5. Just take a money line. If you like the Celtics, take them to cover. If they win, they're going to cover. Don't take them on the money line. Get the better value with the points. It's hard to see the Celtics now losing 3 in a row after just losing back-to-back games for the first time in a while. Also, on their home floor, the Celtics have been good when facing elimination. The Warriors not so much on the road. It's another one of those heart versus head. My head's probably telling me now this is going to go back to San Fran for Game 7. But my heart just has the sense of watching these two teams play the last couple of games. I just feel like the Warriors will get it done once again tonight. They've been the better team the last two games. I think they'll be the better team tonight. Steph Curry will play better. I don't know if I could trust Boston. I think the Warriors may just close it out tonight. Whatever happens, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's more Midday Show on ESPN Radio.